Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 69 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cassidy Stearman.
Funeral arrangements have been announced for the MSU student who died Monday.
Mixing COVID vaccines as booster shots has been approved.
A Kentucky hospital has had positive feedback for its vaccine mandate.
First responders could get benefits in cases of COVID death under a newly proposed bill.
Carter County has a new superintendent of schools.
Kentuckians are already thinking about holiday shopping.
In sports, teams in the region are preparing for weekend contests.
A 10% chance of showers this evening. Mostly cloudy skies becoming gradually clear overnight with a low around 46. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Funeral arrangements have been made for a Moorhead State University student who died on campus Monday morning. 19-year-old Elizabeth Creamer was found deceased by her roommate in the dorm at Alumni Tower on Monday. The roommate notified a local police department around 9:57 a.m. According to the county coroner, she was pronounced dead at 10:04 a.m. Creamer was a sophomore health promotion major from Shepherdsville, Kentucky. Campus Police Chief Merle Harrison said next of kin were notified that afternoon.
The investigation's underway. At this time, there's no foul play suspected in the death, and we are just going through the investigation process and letting it play out and, waiting for some test results come back and things of that nature. But, we can say that there's no danger to the university community. It's, again, no foul play suspected.
Visitation is scheduled for 3 to 8 p.m. tomorrow at the Merriman Billings Funeral Home in Shepherdsville. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday with a burial in Cedar Grove Cemetery. The Moorhead Student Government Association will hold moments of silence at the bell tower on campus tonight at 5 and 7 p.m. A candlelight vigil is scheduled for 8 p.m.
U.S. regulators on Wednesday signed off on extending COVID-19 boosters to Americans who got the Moderna or Johnson & Johnson vaccine and said anyone eligible for an extra dose can get a brand different from the one they received initially. The Food and Drug Administration's decision marked a big step toward expanding the U.S. booster campaign, which began with extra doses of the Pfizer vaccine last month. But before more people roll up their sleeves, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will consult an expert panel Thursday before finalizing official recommendations for who should get boosters and when. The latest moves would expand by tens of millions the number of Americans eligible for boosters and formally allow mixing and matching of shots, making it simpler to get another dose, especially for people who had a side effect from one brand but still want the proven protection of vaccination. The vast majority of the nearly 190 million Americans who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 have received the Pfizer or Moderna options, while about 15 million have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
A Kentucky hospital has seen mostly positive feedback after a vaccine mandate was announced in September. WMKY's Hallie Adams has more.
All Baptist Health employees have until the end of October to get fully vaccinated with either Moderna, Pfizer, or Johnson & Johnson dose of COVID-19 vaccine. Officials tell WYMT most employees were accepting, but some decided to leave because of the mandate. After the FDA approved the Pfizer vaccine, hospital officials said some of the concerned employees were more understanding. As of the middle of October, Baptist Health officials reported less than 5% of employees have not uploaded their vaccine proof into the hospitalist system. They believe only 1% have not yet been vaccinated. For WMKY News, I'm Hallie Adams reporting.
Representative Thomas Huff of Shepherdsville has a presented bill request to revise death benefits for first responders. WMKY's Lakin Hupp has the story.
Bill Request 430 would revise current statute on death benefits to include COVID-19 on the list of illnesses that can qualify a deceased first responder's family for death benefits. Representative Thomas Huff told lawmakers BR 430 would be retroactive, meaning any first responders who have died due to virus complications since March 6, 2020 would qualify. If the request becomes a law, families who qualify would receive $80,000. Lawmakers cannot act on BR 430 until the 2022 legislative session, which starts January 4th. The next interim joint committee on state government meeting is scheduled for November 22nd at 1 p.m. For WMKY News, I'm Lakin Hupp.
The Carter County Board of Education named a new superintendent during a board meeting Monday night. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has more.
Two special board meetings were scheduled for the board to move through the final selection process to name the new superintendent. Dr. Paul Green was selected unanimously by the board to become Carter County School District's new superintendent. According to the Daily Independent, Green was serving as a superintendent of Jackson Independent in Breathitt County prior to his upcoming move to Carter. He has completed 24 years in education, and this school year begins year 25. The contract states the annual base salary is $150,000, which is equivalent of what former Carter Superintendent Ronnie Dotson was making at the time of his departure. Green's contract currently begins on November 1st and runs through June 30th of 2025. For WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from C. Roger Lewis Insurance and Grange Insurance, 129 East Main Street, Moorhead. The C. Roger Insurance Agency has been serving the insurance needs of Moorhead, Rowan County, and all of Eastern Kentucky since 1958. Located on Main Street in downtown Moorhead, C. Roger Lewis Insurance offers insurance needs for home, auto, farm, business, nonprofits, and government agencies. If you own it, they can insure it. John Eisen, Betty King, or Renee Genter can be reached at 606-784-4168 or on Facebook under C. Roger Lewis Insurance Agency.
Retail experts are warning the public that due to shortages in the supply chain, shoppers should begin holiday shopping early. Some shoppers in Lexington say they normally don't begin the Christmas shopping until November, but they admitted shipping issues around the rest of the world have them rethinking that timeline. Debbie Henry tells WKYT she realized if she didn't make some orders before Black Friday, those gifts might not end up under the tree.
The ship date on a lot of toys are like November 29, and so it's really, really scary that to think that people are trying to order online and get their Christmas gifts, and it's going to be like a very late date for them to arrive.
The Kentucky Retail Federation says shopping early should be a priority because the supply chain crisis has moved from factories in China to the ports in the U.S. As for when things might return to normal, experts are unsure. But they say this year is a good opportunity to spend more money locally, whether that's from a boutique gift shop or gift cards to local restaurants.
The supply and demand chain has drastically changed since the pandemic began and has created many teachable moments for students. Carol Chavez, a professor at University of Kentucky, is teaching her students how the pandemic has affected supply and demand. Chavez is a professor of chain management at UK's Gatton College. She tells WKYT the problems have become teachable moments for her classes.
The timing is extraordinary. It is absolutely a domino effect. We have lots of problems with the supply chain. Shortages of raw materials, bottlenecks in our transportation system. We also have a shortage of manpower, particularly truck drivers.
Chavez says the issues will take about 2 years to fix, but her goal is to teach her students how to be part of the solution in the future.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers after 3 p.m., otherwise mostly cloudy skies with a high near 55. Friday night, a 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 46. Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 63. Saturday night, a 10% chance of showers after 5 a.m., partly cloudy with a low around 50. And for your Sunday, a 50% chance of showers, mainly after 8 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 71.
On our feature segment today, the season is set to get underway for Moorhead State basketball in a few weeks. The men's and women's teams were present for the Ohio Valley Conference Media Day this week, and WMKY's Tanner Boyd has that report.
It's a big year for Moorhead State basketball for several reasons. The teams are back to playing full schedules. The men's team are the returning Ohio Valley Conference champions, and it's a new era for the women's team. It's the inaugural season for head coach Kayla Petrie, and she says she had to hit the ground running over the summer.
Got the job extremely late. I was hired on June the 8th, and so I believe when I was hired, we had two healthy players and two players that we for sure knew were eligible. So obviously that presented some challenges in recruiting and just in everything that we had to get the classes. We had to start recruiting the academic classes I'm talking about.
And the team has been putting in the work. Petrie says her and the team have been grinding as they implement her aggressive take on offense.
We try to play functionally fast, but what that means is we're trying to play downhill and really attack off the bounce, but we want to value the basketball. We're not making crazy passes all over the place, and we try to pride ourselves in a great shot selection and sharing the basketball.
Things have been going well in that regard. Graduate forward Tyler Moore was among the speakers during media day. She says the bench runs deep this season, and they've been able to take it all in.
I think this year's team, we have a lot of more unique players. Like, we don't have any two players that can do the same thing. No two players that are the same size, that are the same skill set, none of that. So we have a lot of depth from top to bottom, and everybody has a unique skill set that they can bring to the team.
The men's team is facing a lot of the opposite problems. There's a lot of experience coming back this season, and opponents will be giving the Eagles their best as the returning champs. Still, sophomore standout Janai Brooms says Coach Preston Spradlin has been working hard to make sure that doesn't go to their head.
Coach P's main focus is just to make sure everyone's getting better every year. I mean, every day we come on the court, whether we come to film study on the court, off the court, just getting better each and every day. And with that mindset, I feel as though we're going to eventually get back or better than what we did last year. But we're kind of living in the moment right now.
Also, in contrast to the women's team, Coach Spradlin says, like last season, much of the team's success this go-around will depend upon their defensive performance. The team's defense was ranked top in the conference last season.
10 of 11 statistical categories, we finished number one, and so it's getting this team to really do that. I think we've got an opportunity to maybe be a little more aggressive defensively this year because of that depth that you mentioned, Cameron, and being able to play a few more guys. So can we, get our rotation from, four guards playing 30 minutes? Can we get that up to five, maybe six, so that you're getting those top four guards down to about 27 minutes?
The men's team also has some major opponents lined up for the preseason, including Auburn and Mississippi State. When asked if there was any chance of sneaking up on these schools, Coach Spradlin said that's probably not a possibility anymore.
We're not going to have that luxury this year, and that was a message that I had to my team yesterday when the polls came out, and we were picked second, is you're going to get everyone's best shot. Obviously, we're referring to the league, but in non-conference as well. Auburn's going to be really good. UAB's going to be really good. I think they have a lot of new faces, as you referenced. And so the challenge for those two coaches, the same for me, is how do they mesh?
Both teams will open up play with an exhibition game at home on November 4th. More information on games, stats, and tickets is available at msueagles.com. For WMKY, I'm Tanner Boyd reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling and the 5th Annual Howl at the Moon, 7 p.m. on Friday, October 29th. Halloween crafts, food, refreshments, and live music by Luna and David from Luna and the Mountain Jets. Food by Two Cousins Food and Catering, powered by LG&E and KU Foundation. Details online at grackentucky.org. Howl at the Moon at the Gateway Regional Arts Center, 7 p.m. on Friday, October 29th.
It's 69 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cassidy Stearman and Wiley Tanner, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Hallie Adams has a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this Thursday afternoon.
Area teams are preparing to return to action this weekend. For WMKY Sports, I'm Hallie Adams. Morehead State football's next opponent will be fighting hard as both teams try to maintain their perfect conference record Saturday. The Eagles will be traveling to Poughkeepsie, New York to take on Marist. MSU's third and Zero Pioneer Football League record is on the line, but is so the Red Foxes. The Eagle offense has been shining in many aspects so far this season. Head coach Rob Tenyer says his running back came out hard in their homecoming matchup with Butler, and he's hoping for more of the same Saturday.
Earl Stoudemire had an outstanding day, probably his best game since he's been here. And Isaiah Aguero had another 100-yard day. So really, really good 1-2 punch there. You know, Earl really set the tone, too. He ran off, made a huge hit on the opening kickoff, and those kinds of things really get you going.
MSU and Marist will kick off in upstate New York Saturday at noon. The Round County Senior High School football team will be back on the road when they resume district play tomorrow evening. The team is coming off of an off week and currently holds number 2 spot. With his Vikings revived so late in the year, head coach Kelly Ford says the next game could mean a lot as they prepare to wrap up the regular season of the following week.
You want to win them all. You want to keep your, because you control your own destiny. With our situation being number 2 in the district, we can steal that spot on Friday, and then hopefully get a little help from Holmes. And the perfect scenario is if Holmes would beat Scott, then we would bump to a 1 because the RPI is higher than everybody else in the district.
Round will be in Ashland tomorrow night to take on Boyd County. Kickoff gets underway at 7:30. The Morehead State University men's golf team is back at home after wrapping up their final fall event Saturday. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
Morehead State's men's golf team finished the 2021 fall season on the highest note it could. The Eagles won a scorecard playoff with Northern Illinois Tuesday to claim the top team honor at the Xavier Invitational at the Mecatawa Country Club. The Eagles, who were the team leaders after 2 rounds Monday, jockeyed back and forth in the first NIU before Eagle fifth-year Joe Mushong and NIU's Ben Sluzis both parred the par 3 18th hole to force a tie at 864. Based on each team's fifth score of the day, which typically does not count for a team total, MSU claimed the title by 1 stroke as fifth-year Zach Veminitz had a 78 compared to NIU's Zach Place with a 79. The Eagles will be off for the winter before returning to action February 21st in Mira Loma, California. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Morehead State soccer only has 1 conference game left before heading into postseason. It's been a frustrating season for the Eagles. They sit at 2-3-2 in conference play currently, most recently getting a scoreless tie in a double overtime against SEMO. Coach Warren Lipka says the team hasn't been at full strength the past couple of weeks, but he hopes they are when they take on UT Martin at home Sunday.
We lost, Evan Kays and Caitlin Setters, our center back and left back, 2 weeks ago. So we've had to put in a couple players that are actually doing a great job for us. But, we lost those two a couple weeks ago. I thought they'd be out for maybe a week, and they're still out, and we're hopefully going to get them back to get them on the field on Sunday. But yeah, just the nicks, and just the wear and tear.
Game time in Morehead Sunday is set for 2:00. The Morehead State University volleyball team only has 1 day of preparation left before resuming their conference schedule on the road. Eagle volleyball will be in Charleston Friday and Saturday as they take on Eastern Illinois. MSU has a lot of momentum heading into the contest with a current conference record of 7-2, but the Panthers are hungry and looking for their first conference win. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker McBride is extremely proud of the team currently. She says seeing her ladies continue to excel in each role in their last set of games against UT Martin.
It was a good team effort, but Brenna Bomber actually ran our offense for both of the matches, and I thought she did a great job. If you look at the numbers, we were very even across the board attacking, which is a credit to our passers, but also to Brenna to recognize what the matchups were.
Friday's game with the Panthers is set for 4:00. They'll play again Saturday afternoon at 1:00. Round Volleyball is currently enjoying a little downtime before entering the regional tournament next week. The 61st District champs currently have a record of 19-16 in on the year, But that's been a lot of tournament play against many significant opponents. The Vikings actually have a perfect district record, along with 8-3 record for the region. Head coach Steve Walter says the season has been challenging, but seeing the team grow after being snagged due to the pandemic last year has been a great to see.
Last year's sophomores and freshmen that are this year's juniors and sophomores, a lot of them have kind of started to gain the experience and step it up. The seniors were already pretty skilled. Both of them have got multiple years' experience, and so they kind of picked up where they left off.
Officials will meet to determine days and times for the 16th Region Volleyball Tournament tomorrow. And that's a check for sports. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Hallie Adams.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday, online, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500 touched a new record, joining the Dow Jones Industrials in wiping out a two-month swoon amid strong profits and year-end optimism. And the S&P 500 rose 0.2% to finish at 45.15. And, of course, late in the session touched a new all-time high of 45.46.34. The NASDAQ rose 0.6%, although short of a record. The Dow Industrials actually dropped about 47 points, and they were dragged down by a 9% loss in IBM stock. Tesla did a lot of heavy lifting for the S&P 500 today, jumping 3% following strong earnings from the electric vehicle maker. The S&P 500 has mounted a comeback this month as booming profit reports have trumped worries about inflation and a potential end to Federal Reserve bond buying. The S&P is now up 5% on the month. Tesla shares, as mentioned, very strong after they posted record earnings and revenue in the third quarter that beat analyst expectations, with analysts raving about its strong margins. HP Incorporated jumped 7% on strong earnings and raised guidance for 2022. Other big tech stocks also helped lift the market. NVIDIA and Netflix shares were both very strong. Outside of tech, American Airlines added 1.6% after it posted a profit due to federal aid for the third quarter. IBM, as mentioned, very weak today, down 8%, and was the worst performer in the Dow following a revenue miss in the third quarter. Its top two business segments, global services and the cloud and cognitive software business, both fell short of estimates. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was App Harvest up 15 cents at 556, CSX up 55 cents at 3501, Marathon Petroleum down 18 cents at 6703, Community Trust Bank up a penny at 4365, Kroger down 2 cents at 3930, and Humana was up 633 to finish at 46081. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Rachel Turner, Hallie Adams, Lakin Huff, Shamari Mosley, Keneally Roberts, Alyssa White, Ethan Jenkins, and Wiley Tanner. Our feature segment this afternoon was from WMKY's own Tanner Boyd. Special thanks to the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cassidy Stearman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.